Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are very thankful today that we are able to have this broadcast and to tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's no better news for people to know. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you can know him as your Lord and Savior. You can know that you can go to heaven one day and your sins can be forgiven. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And we had a couple things in the news this week that I want to talk about. Now, the Pope Francis, he's been quite vocal the last few weeks, and he came out with a statement a few days ago about Martians would actually want to be baptized one day. Oh, dear. Well, now, that's a ridiculous statement, isn't it, coming from someone that claims to know God. But, of course, we know that the Catholic Church is a false religious system. Also, he made a statement about there really is no salvation outside of joining the Catholic Church and being baptized a Catholic. But, of course, we know that's not true. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary, what he did for us when he died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. The price has already been paid, so church membership will not guarantee you a place in heaven. It's only, are you born again? That's what I want to know. And you're not born again when you're baptized. Babies can't talk, so they don't make a decision for Christ. That has to be your decision. And of course, that's not a new doctrine. That's not a new statement. The Catholics have always believed that. And growing up in a Catholic school, that's what we were taught, that there was no salvation for people. Of course, we didn't know what salvation was because we couldn't get salvation. But that you had to be a Catholic. So we would try to convert people to Catholicism because we were taught that that was the one true church, and that's the church that Jesus founded. And so that is in their documents. You can find that doctrine. It's not a new doctrine. Also, if you can get a copy of the Vatican II papers, they do make that statement in there, and they call what they call Protestants, but I'm not protesting anything. I'm a Christian. But they call us separated brethren. Well, we are not separated brethren. As born-again believers, we are Christians. We are born again by the Spirit of God into a new life. So we don't need the Catholic Church to tell us what to do. They don't even know what they're talking about to begin with, so I don't know why people would even want to follow such a system. But also in the news this week, there were two Christian brothers that were supposed to have a program on HGTV, fixing up houses or something anyway. They made some statements about homosexuality, which they have every right to do. As Christians, we have a right to tell people what the Bible says. I don't know how much longer we are going to have those rights because Now, you know, it was pretty sick the other day. I thought it was pretty sick. I am a football fan, but I think it's pretty sick that they drafted a football player that was a homosexual, and then they actually showed him kissing his boyfriend. Please. There was no need for anybody to see that. And that was totally out of line. I mean, really. But now these two Christian brothers, they, of course, were talking about the Bible and the Bible view of homosexuality, which we believe as Christians that it is a sin, just like we believe adultery is a sin and fornication and lying and cheating and stealing. We do have a moral compass that we try to live by. But so their show was canceled. Anyway, and then they were doing business with SunTrust Bank, and then SunTrust Bank decided that they were going to withdraw their support for them, and they weren't going to lend them any more money for their building project. So anyway, there was a big uproar, which there should be. People were calling, I guess, and threatening to close their bank accounts, and so then they reversed the decision. But, I mean, what kind of a world is this anyway anymore, that if you make a statement about who you like or who you don't like, or you make a moral judgment, that all of a sudden you're going to lose your business, you're going to lose your bank account? What in the world is going on? I think we should all be alarmed about the loss of freedom and the loss of freedom of speech. We see it in other countries where, I can't remember the name of the country right now, but there's a woman that converted to Christianity, so they're going to kill her. I don't know if it was the Sudan or which country it is. Now, what crime did she commit? Did she kill somebody? Was she a child molester? No. She converted to Christianity, so she's going to be sentenced. She's sentenced to death. And why aren't people spending more time being outraged about this and also the over 200 young girls that were kidnapped in Nigeria? And they're paying more attention to the homosexual football player and, you know, still talking about Donald Sterling. And I don't know. You know, the world is one messed up place, I'm telling you, and more messed up every day. You can hardly believe the things you're seeing and the things you're hearing. Oh, now, did we ever think that we were going to live to see these days? I didn't. I didn't think I was going to live to see these days. And I didn't think I was going to live to see the days that I'm seeing on what they call Christian television, but on the satellite network I have, I must have, there must be about 8 or 10 what they call Christian networks, but there's not one of them that is truly a Christian network. Every single one of them has sold out for filthy lucre. They've sold their soul to the devil to have these fundraisers that they have, which they call telethons and share-a-thons and praise-a-thons and what I call conathon. And so I would like to see one network out there, if somebody would start one, where they had people actually preaching the gospel, not talking about money all the time. Like, that's all they talk about most of the time is how to get money. And then they say, this is a great line that people have bought into. Well, when God blesses me with more money, then I'm going to be very generous and I'm going to give toward the support of the gospel. But most people never do that. because it seems that the more they get, the more they want, and the more they hoard. So I hope one day that there might be a network out there where people actually preach the truth about giving. I know my Bible says, and we're going to play a few clips in a few minutes here from some of these con-a-thon, pickpocket-a-thons. stay tuned for that. But anyway, my Bible says, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave. So I don't know what they don't understand about giving, that it's not about tithing. It's not about seed sowing. It's about love. And so when you, this is the secret that they don't want to tell you, because they don't tell you this because they always have a book or a tape that they can sell you for your seed faith gift so that they can teach you then how to get prosperity. And it's always wrapped around sending them an offering, but there's no secret about it. Anybody could find out the secret to prosperity by merely opening up their Bible. You don't need anybody's book. You don't need anybody's tape series. You don't need to go join a church and sign a tithing covenant. You don't need to sow any financial seeds to get prosperity. There's a couple very simple facts in the Bible about true prosperity and how to get the blessings of God. And that comes by seeking first the kingdom, and then all these things will be added on to you, and asking in prayer, which is free. I don't have to stand before God with a gift. I mean, what kind of a God would we be serving if, now imagine your mother and your father when you were growing up, that you're growing up and you're a child and you need some sneakers, or, you know, maybe you would like a favorite ice cream or something. So you go to your father or your mother and you get out a $1 bill and you say, here, I'm standing before you with a gift and I'm giving you a dollar so that you would give me $10. Now, is that the most ridiculous thing you ever heard of in your life? Yet, these people on these so-called Christian networks, they want you to believe that the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, actually requires that you pay him before he will give you anything. So, now, any sensible, rational person would not believe that, or if you do believe that, please get out your Bible, read your Bible, turn everybody else off. And you know, this is how I got myself out of that mess, being in the Word of Faith movement for 15 years and being a believer in the so-called prosperity gospel. When I finally put aside everything else and I just got out my Bible, I found out the truth. So I found that I didn't have to beg God. I didn't have to bribe God. I didn't have to pay God. I didn't have to join a church and sign a tithing covenant. I didn't have to sow seeds to Mike Murdoch and Kenneth Copeland. I just had to merely live my life every day, work, study to show myself approved, try to lead an honest life, have integrity, very important. So, and God blesses you as he chooses to bless you. You can't force God to bless you. There's not enough begging you can do to God to force him to bless you. He's just going to give you what you need. And that's just how it's going to be. So some of us couldn't handle any more than we have. And God knows that. So let's look at a few scriptures here about asking. Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:9, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh. Now, there's the... Now, we're going to play a clip from Larry Huckster, and he writes this book about, you know, these ancient mysteries, and you have to buy this book to find out, of course, what the ancient mysteries are, but this is no secret here. I didn't have to buy his book. I don't have to know about ancient mysteries. I just have to read Matthew 7:11. God will give good things to them that ask. So, no secret there. Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So, Savior 14:99 or whatever. Get out your Bible; it's free, and you can be delivered from so much bondage. Imagine, really, you know, they talk about freedom, but it's so much bondage. You're under so much bondage. Did I give God enough money? Oh, I don't know. I didn't give. Maybe I should give 15% instead of 10%. Maybe I should have sowed that $1,000 seed because I can't pay my bills. And with all the prosperity preaching that's in the so-called church today, I guarantee you, if you go to church on Sunday, if you go to a church that teaches these doctrines, and you take a survey in the church, and you ask people to raise their hand and ask them, now, how many years have you been tithing and seed sowing and all this? And is there anybody here in this building today that is debt-free? I would say, now this is just a guess, but I would say if there was 100 people in that building, there might be two, that would say, yes, I'm totally debt-free. I don't have any car payment. I have no mortgage. I have no credit card debt, which now these pimp preachers will tell you to put your seed on your credit card so that you can get more debt while you're believing God to pay your debts. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? But so... Also, another scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So, yeah, you purpose in your own heart what to give. You don't need somebody else to tell you what to give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now, this is a word that they like to leave out when they're doing their little conathons. Because they tell you that you have to sow a seed into the ground to show God that you have faith and you're looking for a harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:7 totally refutes that because it says not of necessity, which means not because you need something. So the whole teaching that they have is if you need something, then you need to give somebody else some money so you can get some money. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and that basically is a gospel of selfishness. So you wonder why today, and I've been saved since 1981, so I've never seen the church and the state it's in, as far as very little love in the church, very little real love, very little real caring, because it's been year after year of this gospel of selfishness, which has basically turned the Church of Jesus Christ into selfish children. And is that the way you teach your children at home? I don't think so. Do you teach your children that they need to give somebody something so they can get something? So, you know, this is a doctrine from hell. It really is. It's a doctrine of the devil that's come into the church. Look, nobody needs to tell a born-again Christian that they need to be a giver. When you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So that automatically makes us a giver. That should automatically make us a giver and a person with compassion. That usually comes natural to a real believer. So after a few years of being taught the other, though, the gospel of selfishness, then we become corrupted by this whole worldly system that they're teaching us in these churches and on these television programs and on these radio programs. So it comes natural for a Christian to want to give and to reach out to people. Nobody had to teach me that. After I got saved, I wanted to bless people. I wanted to do things for God just because I loved him. And that comes natural, I think, for a born-again believer. But we're going to look at a few or listen to a few clips that I had today from Larry Huckster and Rod Parsley. And then we have, if we get a chance to play it, this clip I had with Carlton Pearson, who has claimed one time to be a Pentecostal born-again believer, but has gone over into occultism and become a New Age minister. And then there's also this lady, Medina Pullings. Oh, wow. She's a trip. And Clint Brown. Now, Clint Brown was at one time Rod Parsley's worship leader, I think. Now, you know, Rod Parsley, he's totally lost his mind. I mean, he has totally lost his mind. So most of his program is constant begging for money and telling you how to get prosperity, but it's funny, he never has enough money, so he's not getting it himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to be asking every day and selling trinkets and whatever else he's doing to try to get money, because if you're practicing these things like they claim, then they should have enough money. They shouldn't ever have to take up an offering because it should be working for them. I have an article on my website called Seed Faith on Not Working for Oral and Richard Roberts at the time when Oral was alive. Of course, they were the two biggest proponents of the Seed Faith gospel. And Oral Roberts lost his university because they were $40 million in debt or whatever. So Seed Faith never worked for them because they couldn't pay their own bills. He lost his hospital to bankruptcy. It didn't work for them. So if it didn't work for Richard Roberts and Oral Roberts, then why would it work for anybody else? It doesn't. So let's play this clip of Clint Brown and Rod Parsley.
Faith reveals.
Hallelujah.
It's already
there.
That's right.
It's already there.
That's why when people are watching you, and I do it every day of my life, and I sit there, I do not ask God to do it. I ask God to manifest.
There you go. It's already provided.
It's there.
Everything.
Everything. And I think sometimes when we extend our faith by way of healing, by way of sowing, or anything in our lives, we are convinced in our heads we do this to get it. When the truth of the matter is, we're not doing it to get it. We're doing it so that it is revealed, because wherever we are in our now faith, our blessing is right there.
Now watch this. You mentioned a seed. We have the idea or the conception that a seed is sown, and then that seed produces my harvest.
Right.
So my act of faith in sowing a seed then produces my harvest.
Right.
We should think of it this way, and I know this because I am a hillbilly from Eastern Kentucky. We had seed potatoes.
Right.
Now see, somebody came up, the scientists, the French scientists have now discovered that the chicken came before the egg. They've now discovered that.
Yes.
Well, thank you to the French. We appreciate that, because the Bible told us that in the first book of Genesis in chapter 1, that things produce after their kind. God created everything in adult form.
Right.
With its seed in it.
Mm.
So the seed didn't produce it. The seed came from it. So a seed does not produce my harvest as we think of it. A seed is the proof that the harvest that it came from is already there.
Absolutely.
The seed releases the harvest that it came from.
Right.
You don't start with a seed. You start by the understanding that he is Elohim and El Shaddai. He is the God who is eternally self-existent, and my need does not diminish his supply. My need is a representation of his supply.
Mm.
The seed is the necessary part from a harvest. So if I've got a seed in my hand, there's proof that the harvest is already there, because that's where the seed came from. Now I sow the seed to release the harvest that's already there.
Absolutely.
See, the
thing is this. In my hand, if you're watching us right now, I have thousands of apples.
There you go.
There's no way. Oh, you don't
go
see
ahead.
It. It's not seen.
I don't perceive it.
Right. It's not seen. Now faith is the substance of hope for the evidence of things not seen. Because while we look at things that are seen, they're temporary.
That's going to pass away.
Yeah. And watch this. But in my hand, Pastor, I have thousands of apples.
Say that. Look, right there it is. Thousands of apples right there.
Right there.
Why?
The seed, it houses the apples. You know what that says? You know what that tells me? That's why I don't worry when people don't know what's in me.
My God.
God wrapped up stuff in me that the natural eye cannot see.
And stuff in them.
And stuff in everybody watching us. There is great wrapped up inside of you. And God knows it because he put it there. And in this seed is thousands of apples. But I don't see it. Neither did the servant to Elisha in 2 Kings 6 when he said, "Aren't you worried, Elisha? Aren't you afraid?" And Elisha said, "God, please open his eyes that he might see that those that are with us are more than those that are against us." If you are watching us right now, I'm challenging you as you're watching us to step into a now faith.
Yes, sir.
And understand that if you have a seed in your hand, it's because God believes you're a sower. He says he gives seed to the sower. So if you have a seed in your hand, God believes you're a sower.
Really?
And wrapped in your seed, Jesus dealt with it. Jesus, surely two fish and five loaves are not enough. Jesus said, that's because you're looking at what it is right now. But inside of the two fish and five loaves, I can feed 5,000 people right now by faith. Because it's wrapped up in it. And when you release it, if you keep it, it's temporary.
That's it.
Because you can still see it. But if you bury it in the soil of faith,
God,
whatever ceases to be seen becomes eternal.
Hallelujah. Watch me now, Pastor.
Go ahead.
My grandfather planted apple trees
in
Riche, Louisiana. Yeah. My children
notice he doesn't
climb
call him
on
Rod.
Those trees today, and he's dead.
Pastor.
He never dreamed we would be picking apples 75 years ago when he planted it. You know what that tells me? Sowing is but a moment, but reaping lasts forever.
Are you ready? I have to ask you, are you ready? Because he's going to give you the key right now.
Absolutely.
Of how to release everything in you, everything you've dreamed, and God's bigger than you've even dreamed, conceived, perceived, or even believed him to be. How do you release it? By the power that's resident in a seed sown in faith.
Hmm. Today, if you're listening to me today under the sound of this broadcast that has changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of pastors, preachers, churchgoers, and millions of individuals, it doesn't happen by accident. This soil is pregnant with potential. Everything I've ever done on this property has produced something in my life. Today, 20 years later as a pastor, thousands of people gather every Sunday in Orlando, Florida, and reap
the blind
from the seeds
the blind
that I sowed on this property. They get the benefit of it. Today, I want you, when you get a chance, to turn to your Bible and see in Psalms 50 and verse 5. It says, bring me someone that'll link together in covenant by way of sacrifice. So a sacrifice produces a covenant. And today, I'm asking you that you have a seed in your hand of $55. Don't hesitate. Today, I am calling forth sowers with $55 seeds.
$55.
That will say, today, I'm going to release it out of my hand.
Going
I'm going to bury it in a soil that I cannot see, but knowing that if I cannot see it any longer, it's going to be eternal. It's going to last, not just for me. It's going to last for my children and my children's children. My grandfather never dreamed his great-grandchildren that he would never see in his lifetime would be picking off of the trees he planted 75 years ago.
Yeah.
What is your grandchildren and your children going to be reaping from years to come? If you today have faith enough, and your faith can't be a tomorrow faith, it's
a now
faith.
Now.
And you desire things to possess, I'm telling you, God is about to pull the curtain back and reveal what your faith has been believing for.
Jesus.
Yeah,
don't
he's going to pull the curtain back on
right
you.
Now.
That's who he's pulling
take
the curtain
time.
Back.
Pick that phone up. Do what you've got to do. Get on
Pick
the internet.
That phone up.
But sow that seed and release it. $55 seed.
$55. Listen, I just while you're speaking this, I've never heard you. I've never heard you preach this. But I'm telling you right now, my spirit is exploding on the inside of me.
I guess it is, especially when you see those dollar
of your
signs.
Life that is wrapped up in that seed. If you can see that $55, it's temporal. If you let it go into the soil where it disappears and you can no longer see it, the seed has to go away from you. God had to send Jesus out of heaven, and then he had to be buried. He had to go away.
Yeah.
That seed had to go away to resurrect. And you are part of God's harvest right now. God needed a family, so he sowed a son.
There you go.
What do you need? There's something in your hand right now at this moment. For some of you, it is that $55 seed. For some of you, it's a $550 seed. For some business person right now who wants to see what you have not seen in your business, get what you can see in your hand, what is tangible in your hand right now, to release what's already there that you have yet to see.
Yeah.
Do it. Go to your phone right now.
Get
Don't hesitate.
Phone.
Delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't be disobedient. Pick up that phone. Your cell phone's laying right there.
Yeah.
Dial that toll-free number on your screen. Or go to that secure website, rodparsley.com, or sit down and write to me. Post Office Box 100, Columbus, Ohio, 4321. 1-6. Do it right now. There's something you've never seen.
Yes.
That what you can see right now is destined to release into your life. I got to hear some more of this. I can see clearly now.
That's right. That's right. That my faith reveals.
Yeah.
It opens up. It brings to the forefront what I've been
yeah.
believing for.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And I'm going to show you something, Pastor. He walks from a brook that was providing his needs.
Yeah.
He walks into the life of a woman that is at the end of her rope.
Okay.
And she looks at him and says, I'm going to eat this cake and I'm going to die,
okay.
my son and I. He says to her, make me one first. She sowed into him
right.
for provision.
Okay.
And she got unveiled what God's potential is for her. The
wow.
barrel never stopped growing in
no.
meal
no.
and the oil never stopped flowing.
No.
God unveils his glory when we step into a place of faith.
Jesus.
She sowed into a man of God that had life-changing power for her. And she said, I'm going to die. Watch this. What she called last, he said, give it to me first. You may be sitting there today, and what you think is your last $55, I'm saying by faith is your first of many. It's coming back to you.
It's coming.
Pressed down, shaking together, and running over.
I'm praying that for you right now. I sense by the Spirit of God
oh, yeah,
that
sure.
there are many of you right
the
now
Spirit of God.
In this economy, and fears on every side, false evidence
yes.
that appears real. Most people that are withholding from God at this moment
yes.
are people who have not even been affected by this economy at all. But fear has grabbed them. But today,
yeah.
faith is rising in
now
your heart.
Faith.
Now, faith. Right now. Now. The word now. That word now means at this time, at this moment, in this season,
yes.
but it means more than that. It means henceforth and hereafter.
Yeah.
Ezekiel says what God does, he does forever. So the seed that you release into the economy of God by faith becomes eternal in its reproductive power, just like that apple tree that you
yeah.
heard about right now. There is a seed.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost nauseating. How low can you go? Absolutely ridiculous. And notice how Clint Brown put in there that, you know, this widow, they love that story about that widow. And she sewed it into a man of God, you know, insinuating that Rod Parsley is a man of God, so he's a good person to sow it into. Well, I have news for them. Every born-again believer is a man of God and a woman of God. So God doesn't have any special men of God that or women of God that are good soil to sow seed into. He just has normal people that have a Bible that, you know, God allows us to quote from it. So that doesn't make us anything special. But, you know, notice, too, that Clint and Rod have known each other for many years. They're friends. But when he talks to Rod, he never says Rod. He says Pastor. And my friends, I usually don't call my friends by a title. I usually call them by their first name. It's just so ridiculous. Anyway, let's play this little clip now. And this lady, Medina Pulling, she's quite a favorite now on the telethon set. And, you know, she's been with Rod Parsley. Because, you know, when you go on these programs and, of course, you use flattery and you sign up for this to do their telethons and to help them bring in money, then you become a favorite. You get a lot of face time on television, which brings in offerings for you. So usually they have to compromise. And I knew a lady that when I used to go to London, a lady that I met there, and she was from this country, and we were both you know, preaching at some of the churches in London, but anyway, we kind of went our separate ways, and I noticed her on TBN, and she was with Jan, and she was fawning all over Jan Crouch, and you know, then they had her doing the telethons, and she was compromising, and she was doing the, you know, the seed faith and all that, helping them raise money for TBN. And then, of course, Jan gave her her own program. So, you know, it's just not worth it, though. Like, how do these people sleep at night knowing that they sold themselves out? And then they use the gospel, which is precious, to fill up their bank account and you know, to put their name out there. But these are not people that we should respect. We should run away from these people. They're dangerous. Anyway, here's Medina Pullings with Rod Parsley.
God did in her life. You ready?
Oh, yes.
Do it.
Oh, yes. Well, Pastor, it was on December the 4th.
You remember?
Oh, yes. I remember because I journaled.
There it is.
I wrote it down. The Lord spoke to me, and Holy Spirit said to sow a seed of $300 into your ministry. And one act of obedience, just following the instructions, sowing where, what God said to sow, and where.
Now, we never met.
Never met.
Never met. And God spoke to you supernaturally, and you wrote it down.
Oh, yes.
In your journal.
Well, you know, I wrote down, I started writing it down because so many things started happening.
Oh, my.
Just uncommon favor just exploded in my life. And so, seventh day, the powwow. The wow factor. Bam.
Just like that.
She says the powwow. Oh, yes, the powwow. You know, I often say it's like Moses when the Lord told him to lift that rod. And then the powwow, bam, he parts the Red Sea. You know, God does the supernatural. We get the call.
Yeah.
It's a phone call from a major network. Now we have gone from one place to another worldwide.
My God.
In 7 days.
On the seventh day. Here's the thing. This is a season right now, of Ephesians 3:20, where God does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He does super abundantly above.
Mm.
There's nothing that our God cannot do.
Mm.
He's super amazing. And so just following those instructions, sow that seed, it was like, okay, the favor of my life just, I can't even say triple fold because it was more than that. It just increased, you know, like what Jesus said, it increased in favor with God and with man. And I saw it. And just by just following those instructions, and I just sense even right now, this is somebody's moment. This is not just somebody's. This is your moment.
Oh, my.
Let's not even play around with it. This is your moment. God wants you to hear him. There is something about releasing that $300 seed of faith. There is something about obeying God and just releasing it by faith. And I'm telling you, right now we are in a season where seed time and harvest have become one. In the same season that you sow, you will see harvest.
Mercy.
That's what happened to me the same day. Bam. I got the same amount back. 24 hours later, more. Then the next day, more. I mean, I have it journaled in here. I mean, it's written down. There was so much. I said, I need to write this. I need to write it, you know. I mean,
this date,
and it's here, and it's here, and it's here, and it's here, and so on. I can't even tell everything, even our church, that we were believing God for. My husband, Bishop Warren, and I were believing for a piece of property in Richmond, Virginia, and everything was no. Going to the bank. Denied. And God is saying it's yours. Denied. But with that seed, with that seed, that $300 seed, you know, I am a firm believer that there are some seeds that are different from the rest.
There are.
And I believe that this one right here today for you is different from all the rest. This is the one seed that's going to change it all. It's
change
just going to release
everything.
The supernatural.
Now, imagine that. She gave $300 to Rod Parsley's ministry, and her whole life turned around. Wow. That's really amazing that you can buy all these blessings for just $300. Wow. Amazing. Anyway, now we're going to hear Larry Huckster, and Larry Huckster is quite another popular figure on the telethon circuit, and he calls himself a pastor. Now, I don't know why anyone would want to go to this church, but you'll hear, this is about a 12-minute clip, but you'll hear some amazing quotes here from Larry Huckster. And anyway, just listen, because some of the things he says are so far out. I don't know if this guy's saved.
The seven places Jesus shed his blood. We talk about breaking. God, we have a covenant of prosperity. You know, everybody, Pastor, we've talked so many times about breaking generational curses off my life, the curse of anger, the curse of addictions that were in my family. And that's the obvious thing. But one of the things that's been broken off of my life, and it's carried on not only my life, my children, my grandchildren, my ministry, is the curse of poverty.
Yes.
And poverty is a curse. And can I show you a minute where it came from? We all know about Adam and Eve getting kicked out of the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, let me just read a portion here. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden." Verse 24, "So he drove man out of the garden." Now, in Hebrew, now everything I study, and that's why we've written these books, pastors, I study with rabbis. I study with at the original language. In Hebrew, verse 23, it says, "He put man out of the garden." And then in 24, it says he drove man out of the garden. In Hebrew, whenever you see something repeated twice, and we didn't get into the secret of the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years.
12.
Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. Whenever you see something in there twice, there's a hidden secret in there.
Okay.
Ooh.
And when it says he put man out of the garden, he drove man out of the garden, he physically removed Adam and Eve from the garden. But the second time he put him out, he drove him out, he divorced himself from being Jehovah Jireh to all mankind.
Really?
My,
he divorced himself being Jehovah Jireh. And that's why he said, no matter how hard you work,
right,
no matter how much seed you plant, you'll not see the blessing. But by the sweat of your brow, okay, you're going to barely exist.
Yeah.
Now comes the second Adam, Jesus, not in the Garden of Eden, but in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
When he says, in the Garden of Eden, Adam says, "Not your will, but my will." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "Not my will, but your will."
Right.
And he sweat great drops of blood, bought back our willpower.
Right.
Okay, sweat great
he
drops of blood,
back
and that's
your
a whole
willpower.
Other teaching of breaking the curse of addiction, breaking the curse of anger. But then they took the crown of thorns, which is the biblical sign of the curse of poverty, the curse of failure. And where we're cursed by the sweat of Adam's brow, they took that curse, put it on the brow of Jesus, out came the blood, we're redeemed to the promises, we're reconnected to the promises. Now look at the next verse, verse 24. "So he drove man out of the garden, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword which turned every which way to guard the way to the tree of life." We've been taught that, so many people have been taught, that that angel was put there with a sword, a flaming sword, to keep us out of the garden. In Hebrew, the garden is paradise.
Okay.
Parties. But in Hebrew, that angel is not there to keep us out, but those who are in darkness, right before the Messiah comes, they'll see the light of God. They'll see the fire of God. And before the Messiah comes, not when the Messiah comes, before the Messiah comes, they'll come back to where everything they put their hands to, they're going to prosper, where every place they put the sole of their feet. And so the curse, that's why Jesus died on the cross, cursed is he, but he shed his blood seven different times to connect us to all the supernatural power been waiting for. When we go out, Pastor, we're not going out bruised, busted, and disgusted.
No, we're not.
We're going out a glorious bride.
Hallelujah.
But it's the truth that we understand, touching the hem of his garment. I placed that. Tiz was no better. I mean, Pastor Rod, she was gone. And I walked in there and said, "Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, ever." I laid that tallit on, and I said, "My prayers are connected to your promise through the Messiah." It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black. She's got this much blanket on. She's heavily sedated. I laid the tallit touched the corner of that tallit, and before God Almighty, she jumps up, grabs me around. The first time she's responded in months. And today she is totally, she runs the services when I'm not there.
We've
had kids in comas that the Baptist, this Baptist grandma came down and said, my son's hopeless. They told me to come down there. I was teaching on this book right here. She goes back to the hospital room and says, I don't understand it, but pastor showed it in the scripture. Baptist child laid the bed, and that child came out of a coma. We see this all the time. You know, one of the things I write is take my word. God says take my word and put it on the doorpost of your house.
So these curses are broken.
Broken.
So one of our partners, two of our partners, 100 of our partners, 10,000 of our partners, that would get this revelation and see that Jesus shed his blood when that angry, biting crown was thrust into his hemorrhaging brow, and the blood began to stream down. What happened for them?
The curse is broken. But if they don't know it, it's the truth. You and I were talking about this.
Right.
It's not the truth that sets you free.
No.
It's the truth you understand. And here's the ancient Hebrew secrets that in the last days, there will be Gentiles whose eyes are open. The folks that are watching right now, Pastor, and I say this all the time because I believe it 1,000,000%, is in ancient Hebrew, there's no word for coincidence.
No.
If they're watching right now, it's not a coincidence.
No.
Really?
You know, we talk about Malachi 3 where it says the windows of heaven.
Right.
That word window is the word in Hebrew, moedim. Appointed time is the word moedim. The word window is yeshod. And when these appointed times come by, the word yeshod, the window, we think the window's hovering over us.
Right.
And when we finally understand it, we finally obey, it opens. No, it passes by.
Oh, it's passing.
It passes by.
It's passing.
It's like Jesus and blind Bartimaeus, and he would have passed them by.
Right.
Those that are hearing this, that's a appointed time that window is opened up. If they'll respond, if they'll believe it, and I want to just tell you this, you never, and you know, you and I are not the one, go to the phone.
No.
But I'm tell you, I have to tell you this, that you never come before the Lord empty.
No.
You always bring a gift before the Lord, and this is the key. You don't sow from your seed, you sow to your harvest.
Right.
You don't sow from your harvest, you sow to your harvest. And so if people are watching today, in ancient Hebrew, it says no one's smart enough to teach this, and no one's smart enough to hear it. So if you hear it and you teach it, it's because you're handpicked by God to be one of those Gentiles who will see such favor from God. And we believe that 1,000,000%.
Yes.
If they're watching today, it's because they're handpicked by God to hear this, to walk in their breakthrough.
Well, do you see it? God wants to make you a wonder, a sign. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you so that you'll become a sign and a wonder to everyone you come into contact with.
Wow.
All the way back in the Garden of Eden, God established
his immutable
law, seed time, and harvest so that you would have a perpetual seed that would result in a perpetual harvest.
Wow.
It's one of God's most basic, most fundamental principles for your success. Everything God does in the earth begins with a seed released in faith. Seed. It's vital to a harvest. God has placed a seed in your hand destined to change everything forever. Now, the quality of the soil determines the future of your seed. As multiplied, millions around the world can attest, this worldwide breakthrough ministry is good, good soil. But good soil requires timing to receive the maximum harvest. Timing, specific seasons, moments are crucial. I believe with all my heart that as Pastor Larry Huck is with us today, this is a God-designed moment in time for you to activate God's covenant of success in your life with a right now seed that shouts to your circumstance, I am a covenant child of God.
Really?
A saint that allows God to become your financial partner. And if God be for you, let me ask you a question. Who can be against you? Sow your covenant seed. Do it right now while your faith, while your expectancy is rising. Simply call that toll-free number on your screen or log on to that secure website, rodparsley.com. Sow your seed faith gift. I don't know in what amount that the Holy Spirit will speak to you right now. I only know that He is speaking. Perhaps it's a $25 seed or a $50 seed or $100. Whatever God is speaking to your heart. Or you could write to me at Post Office Box 100, Columbus, Ohio, 43216, and include your seed faith gift. Your seed is what God multiplies. Expectation is why He multiplies it. What are you expecting? Are you anticipating a harvest from your seed? Sow today. Whatever that seed is, let me encourage you to sow specifically targeted toward your need to give your faith a focus. Don't just sow any seed, but a seed that represents your need and your faith in God to perform your miracle. For you, that may be a seed of $50 or $100. It may be $500 or even that uncommon seed of $1,000. Is that you today? Is that the seed that will represent your need and be an expression of your faith to God? Do it. I'm so convinced that you need the truths in Pastor Larry Hugg's book, Unveiling Hidden Bible Secrets, that you need a breakthrough, that I want to sow a copy of that wonderful revelation into your life my free gift to you for your very best seed faith gift of any amount today. What Pastor Huck shared with us today is from just the opening chapter in this incredible revelation and book. You'll also learn how to activate the covenant of success. You'll learn the Jewish secrets of baptism that release miracles. You'll learn your part in God's end time plan and a whole lot more. So dial that number on your screen. Do it right now. Go to rodparsley.com or put your seed of faith gift in the mail to me, whether it's $25 or $100 or $50.
And the insanity continues. Honestly, Rob Parsley has gone off the deep end. Gone off the deep end. And I don't know if he's ever going to come back. But notice also, he's going, the book, Larry Huckster's book, Rod says that he's going to give it to you as a free gift, but you have to sow a seed to get it. So that there is a lie. These preachers tell you that they're going to give you a free gift, but you have to send money, then it's not free. So it continues. It never ceases to amaze me, the things they come up with in their fundraising, with their fundraising gimmicks. But let's take a stand. Let's run away from these preachers and share with others to run away from them, not to support them, not to listen to them. And let's preach the true gospel of giving, which is giving out of love. And that's the way God wants it to be. We don't have to pay God off. And so tune in next week. We have some great programs coming up in the next few weeks. So tune in for our program. And God bless you. Don't forget to repent of your sins today and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. You must be born again. Read the third chapter of John. And I'm going to play a few more clips after we go off the air. So those will be in the archives. But I want to thank everybody for being with me today. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, for stopping by. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate all my listeners and people that contact me by email that enjoy the broadcast. Thank you so much for your encouraging words. appreciate it so very much. But we're going to continue on, and the rest of the clips will be in the archives, okay? God bless you for today.
I have a feeling that somebody watching me right now, I have a feeling that somebody that wants a credit card debt wiped out, that if you'll use your faith as you sow the thousand on a credit card, as you use your faith, as you use your faith, God's going to wipe out your credit card indebtedness. It is done. In Jesus. Newspapers have flown helicopters over my house, taking pictures of my house. I didn't know how nice it was till I saw how my enemies saw it. And when I saw what they were looking at, I said, wow, I am blessed. I am blessed. I didn't know how good God had been to me. In 8 months, my house was debt-free. Do y'all clap around here? Is anybody happy over here? Is there just a spirit of jealousy here? Thank you. Jealousy's deadly. I accepted the opportunity. I received the word from a man of God. A woman walked up to me in Virginia Beach, and she's crying. God said, tell her if she'll plant a seed equal to her house note, I'll give her a house debt-free. In 90 days, some relatives of hers died, and they left her a house she didn't even know they owned. I broke the back of poverty at the $1,000 seed, because what you can walk away from, you have mastered. If I kept the $1,000, that's all it would be.
Here is Charles from New Brighton, $1,000. And he is joining our family for the very first time. Welcome, Charles, to the family. And Brother Mike, he says, I want an airplane.
What kind, Charles? Charles, I want you to pick out the plane you want. I don't care if it's Citation, Westwind, Falcon, Gulfstream. Nothing happens until you use your faith. Nothing. God's not moved by tears. God doesn't respond. It took me a half a century to discover that. And he starts handing me these big chunks of money, stacks of money. I start putting them in. First, I put them in my briefcase, what I could. Then I begin to put them in my pocket. You remember Eddie Murphy's movie? And I begin to put them in my pocket, and I look like swollen, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, all this money bulging. They're going to think I'm a drug dealer just as sure as the world. They're going to think I'm a drug dealer. And when I got all the money packed in and I was fixing to walk on the plane, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I can get money to you anywhere. Where you are. I can get money to you anywhere you are. Let me tell you, this $1,000 seed is breaking the shackles. It's breaking the shackles. It's breaking the chains. And to me, a $1,000 seed is proof that you have conquered greed. What I can walk away from, I have mastered. What I can't walk away from has mastered me. A seed is impotent. Your $1,000 cannot reproduce until it enters into a covenant with the soil. You can put that $1,000. Just the other day I like new money. I don't know if you do, but I hate old money that's wrinkled and dirty and got all the diseases on it. I like new money. And when I give things to people, I like to give stacks of money. It's fun. You ever had a stack of new money? Have you? You have it? Have you?
A little stack.
A little. Oh. And so I made, you know, the big stack where it was brand new, and I like brand new money. I don't want any money around me that's not. I'd almost rather have a new one than an old 20. Now that's kind of dumb, isn't it? But there's something about new money that excites you. You like $100 bills?
Oh yeah, I like new money too.
Oh, most beautiful thing on earth is a $100 bill. I hadn't seen a woman as good looking as a $100 bill. There's something about a $100 bill that excites you. So anyway, I gave it to her just because I did it to my sister. She took off the other day for somewhere, and so as she went to leave, and I went out to her and her husband, I said, "Sis, I just want to give you a stack of money just to feel good, just to feel good, just stroke it." And he said, "We don't give to get something back." Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. A man came to me and said, "Brother Mike, when I give to God, I expect nothing in return." I said, "I wrote a little song for you. How dumb thou art. How dumb thou art." My biggest fear is going to hell with all the stupid people in one place. I think I can handle the fire. It's all the fools at the same place. That makes you want to go to heaven, don't it? I mean, I can't hardly take one idiot, much less all of them in one place.
Some people do $250 for the next 4 months, or you could put it on your credit or your debit card and get that seed in the ground quickly,
yes,
so that you can receive that quick and bountiful harvest.
And so I said to the Lord, I said, "I already have a debt-free house. I did that already, and I don't need to do it again." He says, "Are you going to only want one house during your lifetime?" And I thought, of course not. You want more than one house when you get older. You want it. And even all the animals that I've owned, you've heard about my animals, you know. My deer, my llamas, my African lion, my zebra, my monkey. You know a man's lonely when he starts buying those kind of exotic animals, don't you? Isn't that powerful? Now, I said that to say, I've been single 33 years, as you know. I was looking at a magazine. It had a woman with a real beautiful, you know, the fur coat? And it just leaped to my heart. I said, "Oh, it'd be nice to have a wife to buy that coat for." Then I turned a few pages, and there was a lady with a beautiful green jade, like a jade necklace. And I said, "Oh, it'd be nice to have a wife to buy that for." And
God bless you all today, and don't forget, tune in next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill.
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.